Separated by a continent, Liam DeCosmo and Tim Page were just ordinary friends.
That's the actual intro to that.
That's how
that particular.
It's actually
thing.
Me just making that noise.
Until one day,
this will go on for a while.
A question was asked that would change their lives forever.
Dude, have you even seen Star Wars?
No. Why?
What's the matter with you?
From the team that brought you Honor Bright and the awesome podcast comes a story about disbelief, heartbreak, and redemption. This is I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That. You haven't seen that.
What's up, all you cinephiles out there? Welcome to I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That, the show where my best friend and I question our friendship when we discover the must-see movies that we've never seen. My name is Tim Page, and I'm here with a man who once confessed his burning desire to make Davey Havok from AFI his lover. His name is Liam DeCosmo. What's going on, Liam?
Oh, it's nothing is going on at this point. Thanks for that as a lovely intro for people too.
Listen, you're the one that said it.
That's true, but now they get to know me a little bit deeper, so we can consider ourselves all best friends.
That's exactly right. Well, what this show is about is basically just two buddies talking about movies that they love, and I think the really cool twist that we have going on here is we've discovered that we've both seen a lot of movies. A lot of the times they've been really different movies, right?
Yeah, I like to think that, you know, you and I, obviously being best friends for as long as we've been, we have so many similarities in the things that we like. But I feel like movies is one of those things that we kind of diverge a little bit. So I think you have a type that you prefer versus what I prefer.
Yeah,
so.
And now here's the thing. I'm going to openly admit this right here in episode one of the very beginning. Liam has seen far more movies than I have. And there were very few like big iconic movies that everybody's seen that Liam hasn't. And there are actually quite a few that I've never seen or had never seen up until Liam and my friendship started to blossom into a full-blown relationship. So Liam's, most of his will be slightly less surprising and mine will be very interesting. Like, for example, the intro to this show mentions Liam asking if I've ever seen Star Wars, and the truth is I've never seen Star Wars up until I think it was about 2 years ago that I actually watched it for the first time.
Yeah, I think so.
And so that
it was right, I was about to say it was right about when I moved to California. So I would say, yeah, it was just about that time that you watched it because you were like, oh, he's gone. He can't beat me up if I hate
yeah,
it,
that's
so.
Right. Yeah, because, yeah, Liam moved to California a few years back. We lived together for several years. It was funny because it was just like that. Everybody has always said that to me. Everybody's always been like, oh my God, you can't even see Star Wars. What's wrong with you? And so I almost did it to spite Liam for the most part. And then,
which it didn't spite me. It just made me feel bad for you. Cause I was like, man, he hasn't even seen it. He's not even willing to, man. Yeah. Poor sad sap. I don't know what
yeah,
to tell you.
And then I saw it, but we're not going to talk about that yet. Cause that is a future episode. So why would you listen to the show? Well, you'd listen to the show because, you know, you love movies and you've always wondered how anyone could have gone without seeing that movie. So you've said to your friend before, like, oh my God, dude, you remember that part from, you know, X movie? And your friend was like, no, never seen that. And you were like, oh my God, I can't believe you haven't seen that. That's why you would listen to this show.
Exactly.
And so we're here to talk about that. So just a really quick introduction so that you can know kind of who we are. Again, I'm Tim Page, and I'm a 29-year-old married dude in Syracuse, New York, the snowfall capital of the U.S. I have a son on the way in about, by the time this goes live, probably 4 weeks.
Nice.
And Liam and I got to know each other because we used to be in a band together called Honor Bright, and we were together in a band for a really long time. We toured all over the country, played at MTV, did a lot of fun stuff, and so we had a lot of downtime to watch stupid movies and to have really stupid discussions. Liam, go ahead and tell them about yourself.
Well, I also am originally from Syracuse, New York, born and raised. I am 30 years old now, and I am also married. But no, I have no kids on the way as of yet. I just have a really bratty dog That is probably going to be scratching at the door soon.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah, no, right? Gotta love the dogs. But yeah, for me, I relocated to Fresno, California about 2.5 years ago. While, as Tim was saying, while we were on tour, I actually met the love of my life, and we did the long distance thing for a while. And then when the band started to wind down, you know, I relocated. It was a little bit easier for me to travel. Whereas for her, her family kind of dug in and held on tight to make sure she wasn't going to leave. So, you know, I moved out here. So luckily, Tim is probably one of the only people I really stay in contact with back home, you know, because he's been my best friend for the better part of the last 10 years. So it's we figured what better way to annoy the rest of our friends than to have us talk to each other for, you know, an hour complaining about movies.
And I think the best part of Liam's story is he now sells Coke. So that's awesome.
I wish that I could really just say, oh, I'm a Coke salesman. So people would just look at me that much more awkward. That would just be the best thing. But
yeah,
unfortunately, that's not quite the title as of yet. But you know what? For the sake of this show, I'm going to say I'm a Coke salesman.
You're a Coke salesman, Coca-Cola. Yeah. And so that's Liam does that. He's also an aspiring voice actor and voiceover artist. So that's a very cool thing.
This is very true. I'm trying to get a little bit more into some of the voices. So we'll see what I can get into on the show as we prolong our existence and try to get a few more things into the Firewife. We will.
Yes, I like it. And I run a podcast called The Awesome Podcast, where I help other people live their most awesome lives possible, because Liam and I both can attest to the fact that we both live pretty awesome lives. And it's a lot of fun to help other people do the same thing.
Exactly.
So that's who we are. And let's get into the show a little bit. I want to tell people what we're doing and a little bit more about the show. It's divided into three sections. So the first section is coming soon to a theater near you. Tell them what we're doing in that.
We're going to be talking about like upcoming movies, new movies that are in theaters, and what we've recently seen. So we can kind of give a quick review on that one. That way, maybe if it's something that you were on the fence about, but you realize that, you know, as the show goes on, that maybe your tastes align with one of us, you can kind of be like, oh, you know, Tim watches really good movies. I'd love to see this movie, but I want to see what he says about it, versus Liam's an idiot and I hate everything that he loves. So if he loved that movie, then I know definitely not to go see it.
It's like we have a mutual friend, Noah, and it seems that every time Noah likes a movie, I don't ever want to see that movie, because he and I couldn't disagree more. So that's going to be really cool. Then we have, and now our feature presentation, which is kind of the main event. And that's where we'll discuss the movies that we watched that week that we can't believe anyone would have skipped out on. And the last segment is going to be the director's cut. It's kind of our, like, a catch-all. You know, like, we'll talk about basically all things cinema, whether it's industry news, Easter eggs, and our eventual goal would be to have some pretty cool people in the business on the show kind of talking about some interesting things that not many people get to hear about. I think that'd be fun, don't you?
Well, I'd love the idea of, like, my mother went to high school with Ben Burtt, who was the sound designer for all the Star Wars movies.
Oh, man.
So, well, I mean, he lives in Los Angeles now, but he was born and raised in Jamesville, and he still has, I think his son still lives there. So, he's no joke, dude, he's down the street from where my mother lives. So, that's one of those ones that if I can bug her to get information, I would love to have Ben Burtt, because it's one of those people that was instrumental in the creation of like the sound of the lightsaber, R2-D2's noises,
man.
Everything. So it'd be great to have somebody like that, where, you know, everybody wants George Lucas on the show, but this is somebody that knows some of the stuff that maybe you wouldn't hear about. So that's the goal.
Yeah.
Ben Burtt's my goal.
I like it. That's awesome. So this episode, we have two movies that shocked the both of us. So my pick for Liam that I was actually really surprised he'd never seen was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the hilarious John Hughes comedy. It has Steve Martin and John Candy, and it makes you laugh until you pee your pants.
Yeah, and I actually picked Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it was a movie I thought everyone in the friggin' world had seen, but apparently I was wrong. So it was nice to be able to kind of pick up both of those movies this time around.
For sure. And before we kick into the episode, I have to give a quick shout out to two people who really helped us make this show suck less, which, hey, at this point, you're probably like, really? It could suck less? But
it's
good...
worse than this?
That's right. Val, who is a really good friend of ours, she did the artwork for iTunes and the website. She does really incredible work, and she's been doing just cool stuff basically since we've known her. So you can check out her website and order some stuff to be done by her or whatever. You'll be able to visit her at ICan'tBelieveYouHaven'tSeenThat.com/art, A-R-T. So again, ICan'tBelieveYouHaven'tSeenThat.com/art. Go support her and make sure you tell her that Tim and Liam sent you, and maybe we'll send you a cookie. What kind of cookie?
I got to go oatmeal raisin on okay. this one. I
mean, I'm chocolate oatmeal. Chip. Yeah.
You bastard.
No, I'm all chocolate chip. And then the other person is a great audio producer. I actually, a lot of what I do is helping podcasters, you know, create awesome audio. So I'm great friends with a gentleman named Kieran Mountain, and his company is called Mountain Media. He produced the intro and the segment spots that you've now heard the intro, and you'll hear the segment spots coming up. He does an awesome job. If you need any audio production, you're starting a podcast, you got a radio show, or you just want to hear some weird stuff, make sure you check it out. And the cool thing is, he actually set up a discount for listeners of the show here at I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That. So if you go to www.mntnmedia.com, that's like Mountain Media, so mntnmedia.com/seenthat, SEENTHAT, you'll get 20% off your first order. So that's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, I would definitely go and use that if I did any other podcast than this one.
Yeah, I mean, 20% off is rad, and I can tell you he's already extremely reasonable. So make sure you check that out. And then finally, we're going to be doing two trivia questions each show. One you'll get to hear the answer at the end of the show, and the other one you'll hear on next week's show. In this launch week, you'll only have to wait a day, but in the future, you'll have to wait a week. So let's go with that. So here are the trivia questions for this week. So starting with mine. So in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, there's a song that plays called I Can Take Anything. And it's the one where you hear Steve Martin in the background going, "You're messing with the wrong guy." This song had a famous and somewhat surprising writer. So who was the writer? That's our question for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Now, did you know the answer to that?
No, I definitely would not have known. So it was one of those, I almost wanted to check the validity of it, like when I saw. So it was kind of cool. It was kind of cool to actually see that. And, you know, obviously with these questions, you could probably Google search and figure it out. But it's much more fun to listen to the whole show and see if we can just tell you at the end. So,
yeah, I thought that was, it blew my mind. So, okay, and yours is?
All right, for mine, I had to do one from Indiana Jones. And there's a ton of really good trivia when it comes to this. So if you knew the answer of this one, kudos to you. If you didn't, you know, too bad, because I'm smarter than you now. Mine is, before Harrison Ford was cast as the iconic Indiana Jones, which actor had actually clinched the role before having to drop out due to other commitments? And was this one that you knew? Were you? I mean, obviously you didn't really know Indiana Jones, but was it something you knew was even there?
No, no idea. And I love it too. It's such an interesting thing to. It's like a. It's a cool trivia nerd knowledge, you know, like movie trivia nerd knowledge, because it's just like you kind of go, "Oh man, I wonder what that would have been like."
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those that could have changed the course of history, like not only just for like that movie, but for both of those actors, their respective careers. You know, because it, especially at the time that it happened, you know, especially for Harrison Ford, he'd really only done Star Wars, was like his big movie at that time. So it was kind of, he allowed himself to not be pigeonholed because he was able to do this movie. Whereas if this other actor had gotten the role, maybe Harrison Ford wouldn't have had the career that he did have. So it's pretty cool.
And we would have all been really sad.
Super sad. Super
sad. Because Harrison Ford is the man.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on, and we're going to get into today's show.
All right, let's do this.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Okay, so I'm a little late on this one, but a movie that as soon as the previews came out, I was flipping out for. Like, I went right to my wife. I was like, "Oh my God, we have to see this." Was called The Purge. Have you seen previews?
I've seen the previews, and you know, I wanted to look up a little bit more to kind of read what it's about, and it sounds terrifying. Like it's one of those movies where you're just like, "How has nobody made this before?" Like, it just seems like it's a concept that somebody would have thought of, but. You know, I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like, I tried to go like, "Oh, what? How would I be? Like, what would I be if that was the case?" And it's funny because I went through that whole thing where I was like, would that even really work? You know, like there's a small piece of me was like, that could probably work. And then I was like, no, that's crazy. So there was that. And then as far as movies that aren't out yet, but that I'm really stoked for, there's just one. I mean, there's a ton of movies that I'm stoked for, but number one overall is Anchorman 2. Anchorman was one of the funniest movies that I think I've ever seen. And I feel like my life was just a huge conglomerate of Anchorman quotes and pizza slices.
Pretty much. Well, when you think about Tour Life, it was all Anchorman quotes, which, interesting enough, that was a movie I hadn't seen. But you were like, oh, dude, you have to see this. It's so funny. And it was actually one that I did watch and was like, oh, this is hilarious. Whereas, what was that other one? Oh, Step Brothers. I watched that one. I was like, this is stupid. But most people...
Oh, man, I forgot you don't like Step Brothers.
Yeah, but a lot of people love that movie because that's, you know, it's a very similar type of comedy. And you know me, I don't really like the awkward situation.
Yeah.
Comedy, you know what I mean? Because it kind of just makes me like, all right, get on with it. This is annoying. You know what I mean? Whereas most other people are like, oh my God, he's sitting there trying to fart. It's so funny. You know, like it's, yet again, it's the differences in preference when it comes to cinema.
There's a ton between us for sure. And then you had kind of a little list that, so there were some that you've already seen that we're going to talk about.
Exactly. So in theaters now, you've got Pacific Rim. It's directed by Guillermo del Toro. And a lot of the movies that he does, it's very built on its own universe. You know, like it can still exist in our world, but it's very much its own movie. And I think with this movie, he really kind of hit his stride with it, if you will. And it's, I don't know if people really know a lot about it or if you knew a lot about it, but it's basically a remake of like kaiju movies, like the giant Godzilla monster comes out and destroys the city.
Oh, and I didn't know that. And that sounds awesome now.
Yeah. And it's one of those, what we've done to compete with these monsters coming out of the ocean is we've built giant robots to fight them. No joke. That's the preface. So on the surface, you kind of hear this idea and you go, well, this is stupid. The Godzilla movies are campy, but he does this beautifully. Like with Michael Bay's Transformers, it was kind of a mesh of action and you don't really see anything. It's just robots. And, you know, with this.
Yeah, I hated that. You don't know, like, you don't know when they're fighting. It just looks like just chaos.
Yeah, it's just a mess of CGI. Whereas with Pacific Rim, obviously, you know, it's been years now, so they've perfected a lot of the technology, but with Pacific Rim, they really did it like it was a ballet, you know, like the way that the fight sequences were done, the camera really pans out and then comes in when it's supposed to. It was beautifully done. So it's one of those movies I can't recommend enough. And I actually saw it at a drive-in that's about 20 minutes north of Fresno. And it's
I love drive-ins.
Dude, it's like $7 a person. So for $14, we got to see Pacific Rim and then also get to see The Lone Ranger.
Yeah. So how was that? Because there was a lot of talk about The Lone Ranger and what it was going to be like. And, you know, it's just another wannabe Pirates of the Caribbean.
It definitely was to some degree. And, you know, the reviews were saying it was a box office flop. It was terrible, blah, blah, blah. But honestly, it was what it was supposed to be. It was just a Disney movie, you know, for kids and young adults, you know, whoever really wanted to watch it. But, you know, I liked it. At the end of the movie, I wasn't mad that I had seen it or that I stayed up the extra 2.5 hours knowing I had to get up at 4 a.m. to work. You know, I still watched it and I liked it. I mean, there were definitely parts where you kind of cringe because you're like, they're trying to go too over the top with it. But in the end, it was a good movie. If you could see it for cheap, definitely go see it.
This is how you know we're getting old, because you referred to them as young kids or as kids and young adults.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Like, oh, you know, the back in my day,
or the grumpy guy on the front porch,
or the two guys in the Muppets that sit up in the balcony. That's pretty much what you and I are doing. That's what you and I are right now. So, and the other big movies, The Wolverine, which you and I are big X-Men fans.
Man.
So it was phenomenal. If you liked Wolverine Origins, then you're going to love The Wolverine. If you didn't like Wolverine Origins, then you're going to like The Wolverine. It's a better movie. It really pulls a lot of the folklore, if you will, from the comics. Even though they did take some creative liberties with certain characters, which you have to do because it's a transition of medium, you know, from written to cinema. So it's to be expected. So it's, I mean, I liked it almost as much as First Class.
Oh, no. And see, there, so I'm a diehard X-Men fan. We both are, but this is one place where our kind of tastes converge, because that's just like our nerdy, that's just the thing that we're into.
Oh, yeah.
But I've seen every movie except I haven't seen First Class.
Oh, my God. I think that's a cringe one for me. I think that's one of those ones where it's like, how have you, I can't believe you haven't seen that. Oh, look.
Yeah,
look,
do we have a future episode on our hands?
Oh, we have to. Do you see what I did there too? I put the name of the show.
I missed
the show. So I'm pretty good. I'm pretty talented. But yeah, dude, we have to do That's almost like a whole podcast on itself, because we can talk about that movie in addition to the rest of the franchise. So
I like it. Let's do it. I love it. And then you had one that you had already seen.
And this is funny, because this is a divergence the opposite way, where it's a movie I really like, but you're not really into it. And I think it's I always felt like you haven't been a big fan of the of British comedies. And no. For me, because my brother-in-law is a huge Monty Python fan, so I was kind of brought up with a lot of...
And there's the thing. I love Monty Python.
Oh, really? See, I thought you didn't like Monty
Python. No, I love Monty Python, but it seems to be the only one.
But now I just think that you might be retarded. How do you like Monty Python, but you don't like... And I'll talk about the movie now. It's Edgar Wright. It's the end of the Cornetto trilogy with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and it's The World's End. And the premise is that it's five friends that tried to do what they call the Golden Mile, which it's 12 pints at 12 pubs. And when they were younger, they weren't able to finish it. So now they're returning as adults and they're trying to do this Golden Mile. And they find that the town that they used to be in has changed drastically. And it's how they react to these changes. And obviously, since it's Edgar Wright, who did Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, those changes aren't going to be just little subtle ones. It's literally... everyone has changed, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm that's one that I've been excited about since I've heard that they were going to write it, and now it's coming out this month, so I'm pumped.
I'm gonna hate that, and
yeah. Yes, you are.
But what I may have to do is as my friends over at the Nerd Cred podcast say, I might have to legally torrent that, and
there you go.
And yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll watch it, and maybe I'll have an opinion on it, but
It might be that this movie, whereas Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead didn't really speak to you, because like for you, you like the Bad Boys movies, and I've never seen them. And with yes. Hot Fuzz, it kind of plays a lot to those types of movies. So for you, you could kind of relate it and go, oh, but that wasn't funny. I didn't like that they tried to rip that off. Whereas for me, I hadn't seen those movies, so it was fresh. You know what I mean? I only had an opinion based on Hot Fuzz. So maybe that's the difference. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see.
It will be definitely interesting to see. That's going to be good, because we're going to have strong opinions on that. So I think it's time for our feature presentation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Okay, so for this week's feature presentation, as we mentioned, we have Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I had some serious reservations about this whole situation, because I thought that I had seen Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, and how I figured out that I hadn't, I thought maybe I saw it when I was young or something along those lines, but how I figured it out was it was on TV, and I was watching, you know, I flipped to it, and I'm sitting here watching, and I go, God, none of this looks familiar. Like, it doesn't look like anything that I've seen before. And then I watched probably 10 minutes of it, and I went, I have not seen this movie. And I don't think I've seen any of them. So that was that whole thing. And then, you know, when I mentioned that to you, you were kind of flabbergasted.
Yeah, because that, to me, Indiana Jones is up there with Star Wars. You know, like, I've always referred to Star Wars as kind of the golden trilogy, and I don't want people to get it twisted. I love the original, you know, I love the originals, and I do like the prequels, because it's still Star Wars. You know what I mean? For me, it's a full universe that I adore. But to me, the original trilogy is that's the golden standard. If you can make movies anywhere near as amazing as that, then you're solid. And I thought that Indiana Jones was pretty much that trilogy. Well, obviously they made the fourth movie and they did the young Indiana Jones, but really you just concentrate on Raiders, Temple of Doom, and Last Crusade. So with Raiders, it was like, even if you haven't seen the other two, everyone's seen Raiders, and Tim had not. So it was kind of weird.
And so my preconceived notion before I saw it was like, as before I sat down to watch it, I was just excited. Because this is one of the things we're going to do, by the way, on the show, is we're going to kind of talk about our feelings before watching it, and then probably obviously during and after. But I was just really excited because it was one of those movies that I always thought I had seen. And it's funny because I thought I liked it. I'm like, anybody would be like, Indiana Jones, be like, yeah, great movie. And I had no idea. I had a tie to it thinking that I liked it. But before I watched it, I was really stoked. And my wife and I sat down to watch it, and she didn't watch any of it, which is amazing.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Didn't watch any of it. And nice. Well, you got to remember, she's real young. I'm a cradle robber. So
this is true.
To her, she was like, oh, this is one of those old movies.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah. But yeah, so that was how I felt before. And I got to say, it completely held up to everything I was expecting it would be. Did not let me down
nice.
One bit. Great, great friggin' movie. Great action. One thing I have to say is the thing that got me excited the most was that it didn't, like, there was no dicking around. As soon as I hit play, it was like, okay, here we go. You know, we're going to go into the, you know, whatever. It was the underground thing there.
They go into the cave. The it's kind of like an Aztec-styled cave that they go into to get the idol. Yeah.
Yep. And there was no messing around. There was just like, okay, action. Cool stuff happening, and you're in. And see, I like that about a movie. I mean, if I'm watching some dramatic, you know, some dramatic romance or whatever, then, you know, some crazy long story where it's really slow is fine. But, you know, in Indiana Jones, I was expecting that kind of action, and it was awesome. Lived right up to it.
And
so that was cool.
What's great about Indiana Jones, as what you were saying, is that they never really try to establish a huge backstory for the character.
Yeah,
you know what
true.
I mean? That even by the time that whole movie's done, you're just like, oh, so he's a professor that then is an adventurer. You know what I mean? Like, and that's all it needed to be. They didn't try to do some long, convoluted backstory until they got to the third movie. When they get to The Last Crusade, they go back and they kind of show him as a younger, as like an Eagle Scout, and they show kind of how he got into what he eventually does. So it's like, dude, it took them three movies to finally do a backstory, and I actually love that about the character, because it creates I don't know how I want to really put this. It gives you space to kind of be put in your own thoughts and ideas about what that character could be and like what he is, you know?
Yeah, you can relate the character to your, you know, whatever, your own life or whatever it is.
Exactly. Because, hell, all of us when we were kids like to go, you know, wander off in the woods, or, you know, if you lived in a really busy city, I guess maybe you climbed out the window on your fire escape. I don't know. Not all New Yorkers are from New York City, people. All right.
Oh,
some of
boy.
Us actually live where the woods are.
Yeah, absolutely. We both grew up where the woods are, for sure. What I loved, there was a scene that I really enjoyed, because right away, you know, I always want to love the main character. You want to be behind him. That's kind of the typical thing. But there was a point like really early in the movie where I lost a little respect for Indy, and it gave him like a little bit of, okay, so Indy's just a normal guy. You know, he's not a superhero. He's just like a normal guy that kicks a lot of ass. But when the guy, I can't, what's the guy that he walks into the cave with? What, do you remember his name?
Oh, God, you would ask me that. No. Oh.
That's such a thing to know, too.
It's something. Yeah, exactly. Now I feel like a friggin' poser, because now I don't know.
Yep. And that's going in the show notes. So we're going to Wikipedia that afterwards and put that in the show notes. But when, so they get to that point where Indy's got the idol and the guy has his whip. And Indy's like, throw me the whip. And the other guy goes, no, throw me the idol. And then I'll throw you the whip. There's no time to argue. And Indy throws him the friggin' idol. And the whole time, I'm like, don't throw him the idol. Don't throw him the idol. Don't throw him the idol. Oh, you're an idiot. You know, because you knew he wasn't going to do it. You knew he was going to run away. And so I love that. I love that there's a really human side right away of Indy. And I thought that was cool. I don't know if that was the intent, but I thought that was cool. And then you have a cool story about this, but there's a point that I was dying laughing, where they're in the crowd and there's the big dude that's like spinning the sword around, and it looks like it's going to be a big dramatic fight scene, and Indy takes out the gun and shoots him.
Yeah, and it's funny with that is because it was, they were shooting on location and it was like 120 degrees or something like that, and so extras were passing out and they still had to do this whole fight sequence. And so Harrison Ford turns to Steven Spielberg and he goes, how about I just shoot the guy? So instead of doing this whole long sword crazy sequence, and this guy was like a trained professional, like he was supposed to, there was supposed to be a big point in the movie, and then they cut it for, you know, 2 seconds of a gunshot and then he walks away, which I think helped establish him better than if they had done that fight sequence, because he's a professor. He's not a fighter. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He does the Harrison Ford. What I've always loved him as an actor is that he does the old school style movie fights where like the pulled punches, you know what I mean? Where he throws his whole body into every single punch, which nobody does that. Whereas now every fight sequence looks like an MMA fight. You know what I mean? Whereas back then it was very much, kind of a throwback to those old style, you know, just kind of the big scenes, like every punch and kick was very dramatic, you know what I mean? And you tackle him into a table and you knock the drinks over. And that I kind of miss that, because I feel like that is that old style movie. And I was going to say, you know what sucks is I can't remember the character's name, but I know that it's the actor that played Doc Ock in the second Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
It is?
Yeah, it's the same actor. I can't think of the actor's name right now. But it's the same guy that was Dr. Octopus in that movie.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which is crazy because it's one of those characters, one of those actors that you're like, really? He was in Indiana Jones? But it, but you,
yeah, right.
But you never, you don't ever really look at that. You don't really look it up, so.
And I love that this is not only Harrison Ford, but it's Steven Spielberg, and I love that too. That's just awesome to me.
Oh yeah.
And then there's the, if anybody is a Lonely Island fan, because I think Lonely Island is hilarious. there's a scene where Marion's in the truck and the truck blows up, and at first Indy's looking like almost at the camera. He's looking away from the truck, and then the truck blows up, and he does the slow dramatic look back. And it just reminded me so much of the, you know, like the walking away from an explosion thing. Yeah. I don't know why, but I was, that's all I could think of. But it was a really amazing, dramatic look back. And then the other thing was, if, you know, we're both big Back to the Future fans. We love Back to the Future. And there's a point in the movie where they open the Ark and they see just the sand. And there's like, you start to see like these little kind of lightning-y flashes that go around in the background, and I swear that I thought that DeLorean was going to pop out.
And you just see like Doc Brown like pop out and be like, Marty, what time is it? You know, like just you know, you just want to hear one of those quotes, or he's looking at his watch going, damn, great Scott.
Oh, I wanted it. I wanted it so bad. And then, so here's the part where everybody continues to hate me, is that every time throughout this whole movie, I kept going, oh, there's so many Family Guy references. Obviously, you know, just being a dick, but that's what I was thinking. The whole time I'm like, oh my God, I saw that on Family Guy. I saw that on Family Guy. Like the Top Men, that was the best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they're like, oh, where's James Woods? Oh, he's being looked after by Top Men. Oh, what do you mean, Top Men. I loved it.
Yeah, and then it's just there's a lot of, I guess you could say, comedies that have kind of played homage to that, where it's the crate being like pushed off into like the giant warehouse of lost crates, you know?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, and so my review of Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark is awesome, definitely worth the status that it gained, and I will be watching that many times in the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. And so this is going to be great because we have such different taste in comedy. So I'm really curious of your pre-thoughts on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
All right. Well, going into it, and this is actually kind of funny, is I didn't know it was a John Hughes film.
Oh, really?
I did not know that. All I knew is that it had Steve Martin, and I don't like him.
I was just going to say, I know you hate Steve Martin.
I don't. And it's tough because he is one of those established actors, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. when it comes to the comedy genre. So it's one of those ones where he does end up in a lot of movies, and the movies are good, but I never gave them a fair shake because I don't like him. And I think I was never really like SNL fan, so it's not like I really watched him do those. Like, obviously I've seen old reruns with him doing that "Do Wild and Crazy Guys," you know what I mean, which same thing like what you were saying, I saw that on Family Guy first and then saw it on SNL, so I was like, oh yeah, this Family Guy's funny, you know. So it's tough, but the thing that really kind of made it that it's weird that I haven't seen it is because I love John Candy, so it's crazy that I haven't seen it, even though. And I think that's why I was able to watch it this time, is because I was like, okay, I know going into it I'm not going to like Steve Martin, but I know I'm going to love John Candy. Like, I love Cool Runnings. I love Uncle Buck. I love Home Alone and, like, all those roles. Like, he plays a typical same guy role, like, in almost every movie, but he's so good at what he does. And, I mean, you know, God rest his soul, he just was a master at his craft. So
he sure was.
So I was hesitant going into it because I know the kind of stupid comedy humor that you really enjoy. and I was really hesitant because, like, I can watch old action movies, but when it goes to old comedies, a lot of it ends up being very dated. So it's difficult to watch it from this day and age and go back to that old style comedy and really find it still funny, because I feel like it's that comedy you have to have seen it when it happened to appreciate what it was.
Okay, I can understand where you're coming from there.
So that was kind of my going into it. When I found out what it was, John Hughes movie, I was obviously more excited because, you know, like 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, like, you know, you can't say enough good things about those movies. So right. For me, right off the bat, knowing it was John Hughes, that was, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, I can definitely watch this movie.
Perfect. Okay, and so you watched it And we, it was funny because we didn't know this. We were watching the movies at the same time. We didn't know that until I sent Liam a text going, okay, Indiana Jones is in. And he's like, oh my God, I'm watching. So go ahead and tell me your thoughts. What'd you think?
Okay. I got to say, I loved it. I like front to back because it was exactly what I wanted it to be. I wanted to hate Steve Martin. And the movie is all about how he's a prick. You know what I mean? Like, he's this high-strung marketing executive. He's just full of himself, thinks he has no faults, and all he does is look at the faults of others.
Yes.
And it's just like he is supposed to be that character you hate right from the get-go. And so he was perfect at playing what I wanted him to play. And then on the flip side, John Candy was the big, bumbling, lovable, Del Griffith. You know,
I want to be friends with him.
It with everybody, and it's just like we all know people like that. Like that person that even after you're like, hey, dude, I'm trying to focus on something, they're just like, oh, yeah, no, I don't want to bug you. Because I hate when people bug me. Oh my God, it's so Gary, right? It's just, but that's perfect because you can immediately relate to both those people because I'm that prick that thinks they're better than everybody. So I hate people that are just like me. So for Steve Martin, I was just like, oh, I hate this guy, but John Candy. And he was a freaking curtain ring salesman. Like, what? And who does that? There's not curtain ring salesmen. You just go to Sears and buy curtain rings. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't, nobody does that. So it was cool that they even gave him a job that you're just like, people really do that. So I enjoyed it. And I liked that they did a holiday theme without shoving that in your face. Like, yes. The one thing I really hate is like Thanksgiving or Christmas movies that try too hard to be like, oh, it's all about, like, you know me, I don't like Miracle on 34th Street because...
Which blows my freaking mind.
Well, because you're Santa Claus. That's love that movie. But it's for me, the remake or... nice. The remake or the original, I still... It drags for me. It doesn't really speak to me, but I'm not really like the holiday elf like you are. So with this movie, I liked that it had the Thanksgiving theme without that being the only focus. Like, yeah, he was trying to get back to his family for Thanksgiving dinner, but it was so much more a road movie than a holiday movie.
Yeah, it's like Dutch. Have you seen Dutch?
Yeah, of course.
It's like that. It reminds me of that, but, you know, obviously with two adults.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about this movie is that there are so many scenes that are like, I think it's less quote-worthy than, like, the modern funny movies, but there's so many scenes where, like, oh, my God, that scene. Yeah, that was so funny. Like, the hotel scene where they wake up and they're cuddling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, think about, like, when we were on tour. Like, first off, having to share a hotel room. And for them, it was just the two of them.
Yeah.
But for us, how many times was it five guys having to share two beds? Like, you know, inevitably somebody's going to end up cuddling. It's just, you know, human nature. Like, you can't avoid it.
But those aren't pillows. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oh my God. That part was for me a groan moment where I'm just like, oh man. Like, you know what I mean? Cause I'm like, they had to go there. Like they had to do the, you know,
take
it sexual innuendo. You got to do it. But you know, especially for you and me, like we used to not really fly that frequently up until, you know, I want to say 2009 when we had to fly back down to Florida.
Yep.
To finish recording. So we know firsthand, like, that being stuck in an airport and having to fly in inclement weather and, oh, you may have to be diverted to another airport. So, I mean, we've lived these things now, whereas I think had I watched it in 1987, I wouldn't have understood because I had only flown once and I was like, I think it was 1987 was the first time I flew. So I was only five and I wouldn't have really known like, oh, I'm stuck in an airport. I would have just been like, I'm stuck with my sisters. You know what I mean? That would have been the extent of my reaction. So it was nice to watch it as an adult and really look at it as, my God, I've been in that kind of situation. I've had to sit next to that person that takes up too much space or is on the armrest or is trying to chat with you nonstop. And you're just like, look, I just want to fly. Like, I just want to be out of here. You know? So it was cool to be able to watch that and relate to it. Even though I still hated the character, you know?
And I don't think you necessarily like this movie if you're a kid. I think this is more like an adult movie because you understand that experience. Like, as a kid, you're just kind of like, most of this stuff doesn't seem that bad.
Right, exactly. And I think because we didn't have to drive, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, and we didn't pay for the airport ticket. So it's a monetary impact as well as, like, a social and physical impact. So I think, and like when they're in the car and Del goes to flick the cigarette out the window, but it hits the edge and bounces in the back seat, and they're like, oh man, he's like, oh, it's getting hot in here, and he tries to take off the parka.
Yep.
and it gets caught, and it's like, how many times have you been driving and you're trying to take off a sweater or a jacket, and common sense says, pull over, jackass. Like, this is not safe to do at any point in time ever, but we all do it. We've all been like, well, I could take this jacket off real quick. You know what I mean? Or you turn to the person next to you like, hey, grab the wheel. I'm going to take this jacket off.
All the time. The safest thing in the world.
Worse, because we're all idiots. But it's great because it kind of shows this is the worst case scenario of like really how it could happen. You know what I mean? And I remember I'm sitting on the couch and you're watching that, and I go, he just flicked the cigarette in the back seat. And my wife was kind of on her phone, and she goes, what are you talking about? I go, he was smoking a cigarette, and he just flicked it, and it landed in the back seat. And she goes, is the car going to catch on fire? I go, yeah, the car's going to catch on fire.
Yeah, and so the other thing that I love, too, is that just like Indiana Jones, this is like a theme with this episode, is that there are so many Planes, Trains, and Automobiles references in Family Guy.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it. Like there's the one where they're kind of shouting, like where Steve Martin gets all over John Candy in the hotel room about how he's like, you know, he never tells good stories. And the other one is it's Stewie and Brian on skis, and they're going way too fast down a hill. And they reference the part where Steve Martin and John Candy are in the car and they're on the wrong side of the road and they go between the two trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And he turns into the devil. Like, Stewie turns into the devil. He's like, on the ski thing. So I loved
that's
it.
That's right.
Made me and so then, happy.
And that was another part in the movie where it's just like, I love that it didn't take itself too seriously. Yes. You know, like it was trying to be funny, but it was also trying to kind of give you like that life lesson in the end, which in the 80s, you have to have a life lesson, because if you didn't, then your movie was terrible. Like even horror movies still had a life lesson in the end, you know, like you had to. So it was nice that they kind of were able to do the buddy comedy road movie, but still have it kind of make you feel something at the end where you were still just like, oh, okay, that's cool that he kind of came back around. So, you know, I like that reference, and I like, same thing, like when you watch Family Guy and you see these things happen and you're just like, haha, that's funny, but you don't know where it came from. And then when you do find out where it came from, you're like, oh, and it's horrible that Family Guy had to show it to you first.
And the real life lesson of Friday the 13th is your mom might be a serial killer.
Oh, yeah, of course. Which I think at all points in our lives, we've all thought our parents were serial killers.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I mean, so let's go ahead.
For me, I've got four sisters. So I figured they just made five of us, because if they needed to kill any of us off, nobody would really notice, because they're like, oh, they thought they had five kids, but I guess they only have four, you know?
Let's move on to the director's cut.
The director's cut.
All right, great. So we have, for the director's cut, we have a couple of things. We have two Easter eggs, and then we're going to talk about some pretty cool movie news that's come out. So the first one was an Easter egg in Indiana Jones, which we both think is just awesome. So I want you to write this down if you listen to this. And if you're driving, pull over and write it down. At 1 hour and 6 minutes and 9 seconds, just when Indy and Sala, is that the name, Sala?
Yeah, when the his like kind of sidekick person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when Indy and Sala, we'll go with Sala, are about to lift the cover off of the Ark, at that same point where it looks like the DeLorean's coming out, if you look right above Indy's right shoulder, you'll see hieroglyphics of Princess Leia inserting the plans for the Death Star into R2-D2. I had to go back and look and see it again after I found out about that Easter egg, and it's awesome. So you got to check it out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one of those... You really have to look for it to see it. It's not like readily apparent, but it's one of those when you go back in, that's something that you notice.
Yeah, the Easter egg you have is, it's like, it's crystal clear. It's easy to see.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing in Indiana Jones. When on the plane, when Indy's running out of the woods in that whole beginning sequence, after, you know, after they get the Golden Isle, idol, when he runs to the plane, the call sign is OB-C3PO.
It's just, I think it's just CPO, right? OB-CPO?
Oh, is it CPO? Yeah, so it's OB-CPO. So obviously it's like the reference to Obi-Wan and C-3PO, which is great because obviously George Lucas was a producer on the film and he wrote the film itself. And you haven't seen the second one, but in there is another Easter egg where the club that the opening sequence happens in is called Club Obi-Wan.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, it's cool that in both those movies they reference Obi-Wan. So it'd be cool. I gotta look for one in Last Crusade, see if they did anything in that one.
Yeah, it would be so awesome. I love it. See, I love those references. Like in the Nightmare Before Christmas, there's a bunch of references to other movies like Batman and stuff. So that's really cool. So a couple of pieces of movie news. Here's a place where we both agree is just like killer action movies. And The Expendables was just awesome because it brought together everybody awesome. And nobody cared if the movie was any good, which it was. We just wanted to see all the cool people. So The Expendables 3 is scheduled for August 15th of 2014, which blows. But
yeah.
It's got some confirmed stars. So we have Sylvester Stallone. We have Harrison Ford. Awesome. We have Mel Gibson. That's a new one, is the addition of Mel Gibson. And then Antonio Banderas, Jackie Chan, Wesley Snipes, Kellan Lutz, and Mila Jovovich. So,
which is fun because it's one of those ones I think some people forget. She's an action star.
Yes.
But it's like, dude, have you seen Resident Evil? Like, she carried that franchise. You know what I mean? She was phenomenal in the role of Alice. So it's great to see them kind of expand the cast from just kind of like the men's, you know, it was kind of a boys club.
Yes, it was.
Movie, you know, even with the sequel, you know, they brought in Chuck Norris, you know what
right.
I mean? And he's in his friggin' 70s, you know what I mean? And they're still like, oh no, he can still be an action star.
Sure
he was.
Can.
And I think that's one of those ones where it's like, I love that they expanded the role of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, as well.
Yes.
Same thing with Bruce Willis. So it's great to see, you know, Bruce Willis obviously still just did Die Hard 5. So it's nice, you know, obviously, so he's really still doing the action movies, but it's cool to see these guys that really haven't done action movies for a bit and watch them kind of step back into that role. Like Mel Gibson hasn't done movies since like his emotional breakdown, other than he had kind of a low budget movie called Get the Gringo.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't watch it, but I heard about it.
Same thing. I haven't seen it yet. I really wanted to. It's just really hard to find a copy of it. You know what
it's
I mean?
Actually, it's on Netflix.
See, I don't have Netflix,
oh,
and I always feel like I feel like I should get it because it's like, dude, it's $10 a month. You might as well get it, but I'm lazy, so I don't feel like spending the extra 10. Although I feel like for the purpose of this show, I'm probably going to have to get Netflix because it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to get all the movies that I want to see that I haven't seen. So, all right, and then obviously other big news, if you will, was that the Carrie remake is actually going to be delayed.
So
they want to make it darker. And they want to make it scarier. And that's according to Chloe Moretz, which a lot of people, they know her from the film franchise Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Which Kick-Ass 2 is actually hitting theaters like next week. So that's another one that I'm with you on that one. I was really excited for it because Carrie is an amazing movie, but it is one of those ones that when you go back and watch it, it does sometimes feel a little bit dated. So it would be cool to kind of see that introduced to a younger audience.
Yeah, and I'm stoked that they're going to make it darker and scarier. Like, because the book, if you read the book is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Which is tough because so many Stephen King movies do not transition well.
Yeah, I hate
from,
Stephen
from
King
book
movies.
Form. Exactly. From when you go from book to cinema, it does not translate. Like, when they did Salem's Lot, terrible. Did not translate.
Yeah.
Tommyknockers did not translate. You might kill me on this one, but I didn't even think it translated
oh,
well.
Oh God, I loved it.
Because they cut so much out of the book, and for me, like if the movie really has to be fantastic. Like I loved Jurassic Park as both the book and the movie because they did do a wonderful job about cutting out what was not necessary. Because with Michael Crichton, because he's a doctor, he'll go on and on and on about the DNA stuff.
Oh,
and
I
you
know.
Just if you're not a doctor, you're not interested in it. So we didn't. All I wanted to see was more dinosaurs. And they did that in the movie.
Yes.
So they really played to what I was interested in. But at the time, I was like friggin' 12 years old or something. So obviously, for me at the time, it was great. And I think for it, you know, I had read the book and I really wanted to see them get into a lot of the psychological aspects of it that they didn't do in the movie because it was really more just about Tim Curry being creepy as hell. So, but I mean, still, it's a great movie, but it's one of those ones that I still don't think transitioned as well as it could have.
Well, and I think Carrie will be a great, because the original Carrie was pretty
good.
Was
great. Yeah.
And I
great.
Think that the new one will be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm hoping at my sights are set really high, and I don't imagine that they'll disappoint. So,
And by the way, I don't know what brought this up, and it's okay that this is going to be on this episode because I want people to get stoked about what might be coming up. A movie that I realized that I still haven't seen that is going to go for sure on an episode is Watchmen.
Oh my gosh, dude. I actually got Brittany to watch that maybe like a month or two ago. For those not listening, that's my wife. I got her to watch it like a couple months ago. She felt like she had seen at least parts of it before, but this was the first time she really got to sit down and watch it. She immediately after watching it picked up my graphic novel and read it.
Nice.
Read it like front to back. Like she could not get enough of it. And she was like, is there more? And they actually have in your local comic book stores, they did kind of backstories on each character, like little one-offs. Comics on each on each of the main like superhero characters. So that's definitely another one that they've sort of expanded the universe a little bit. But even for what it was, self-contained, it was phenomenal. So that's definitely one that we can do a podcast on because it's a phenomenal movie.
Nice. That's on our list. Awesome. All right. So we are going to get to the trivia answer, and we are going to answer my question, and we'll answer Liam's question on next week's. Well, in this case, it's going to be tomorrow's episode. So I guess you better download it so you can figure it out, huh?
Perfect.
So my question was about the song I Can Take Anything from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And I wanted to know who was the surprising writer of that song. Well, the answer is, drumroll, John Hughes. Yeah, he was. This was one of two credited songs that he's written for movies. This one, and he wrote the lyrics for Wally World National Anthem from Vacation.
No way. See, I didn't know that he had written anything other than I Can Take Anything. You know what I mean? Like after you told me and I looked it up, I was like, oh wow, that's really cool. But I didn't think to look like, oh, what else did he write? So that's cool that he's done more than one thing. So multi-talented director. It's always very cool.
And very, very talented at what he does. I love it.
And you're going to have to wait for tomorrow to hear a little bit about a little backstory on Indiana Jones. So we'll find out.
I love it.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And yeah, so we are going to sign off in a minute here. I want to thank everybody for checking it out. This is our first podcast doing this together, and it's Liam's first podcast ever.
Yeah, this is my first time. So if I'm terrible, too bad.
what we're going to ask you to do, help us out, because with these new podcasts, it's really difficult to get noticed. And the most important time for a podcast is in the very beginning, the first 8 weeks. So do us a favor, go over to iTunes, deal with their crazy, awful interface that slows your computer down. But go over there and go to the iTunes store, go to I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That, and leave a 5-star rating and a review if you think the show was awesome and you could deal with our horrifying banter. Go there and do that, because if we get enough of those ratings and reviews and enough people subscribe, you know the show will get some attention and we can be annoying more and more people as the day goes by. That sound good to you?
Yeah, I think it sounds awesome. And also, you know, there's contact information on our website. If you go to I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That.com. And if you have a suggestion for a movie that you'd like to hear us talk about, go ahead and send us a list, or, you know, even if it's just one movie. Like, we would love to see what other people are watching, maybe we haven't seen or that we have seen, and we would love to just talk shit about it for an hour.
All right, well, that's all for this episode of I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That. Now we've seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. If you haven't yet seen them, make sure to check them out, or don't, at your own risk. As always, links to anything we've mentioned here are available at ICan'tBelieveYouHaven'tSeenThat.com/1. So head over there, leave us a comment, let us know if you love or hate us. And if you want to get our top 10 movies that you must see before you die, sign up for our mailing list at ICan'tBelieveYouHaven'tSeenThat.com. Thanks so much for being here. We were great.